Rwandans today participate in their first elections since the 1994 genocide. It's been 9 years since extremists from the Hutu majority slaughtered more than 500,000 people, mostly minority Tutsis. The vote could test the nation's recovery from civil war. President Paul Kagame is a Tutsi, and his main opponent is Hutu. Dina Temple-Rostin reports.
Last week, 10,000 Rwandans gathered in the blazing sun of Ruhango Township to hear their first presidential stump speech. The crowd is awash in the red, white, and blue colors of Paul Kagame's ruling party, the Rwandan Patriotic Front. Tricolored scarves adorn heads, plastic RPF flags wag, and there are T-shirts with Kagame's likeness, and umbrellas, open against the African sunshine, reveal the president's smiling face on their folds. This tiny nation on the shores of Lake Kivu has known only colonially imposed or militarily seized government since its independence from Belgium in 1962. Kagame took power after the genocide. His Rwandan Patriotic Front has been seeking legitimacy ever since. In his stump speech, Kagame says Rwanda has wasted too much time fighting. Now, he says, is the time for reconstruction. In an interview after the rally, Kagame says he feels the nation is ready to choose its own leader, and he's confident they'll choose him.
I'm going to win. RPF is going to win. And the meaning of that is increased legitimacy and a very clear mandate based on the choice of the people of our country. Given our past, there is a need for that.
But there is more at stake here than politics. These elections are a referendum on a country's healing process, 9 years after extremist Hutu killed 800,000 minority Tutsi and moderate Hutu.
You cannot always give excuses for not being openly democratic. We need to bring, at some point, an end to this transition. Otherwise, they might think we are manipulating, we are up to something.
The unspoken fear is that the confrontational elections could reignite ethnic tensions. There are four candidates in the race: Kagame, a woman doctor, a businessman, and a former prime minister named Faustin Twagiramungu. But it is Twagiramungu who is providing both Kagame and Rwanda with their biggest test. Kagame is a Tutsi and Twagiramungu is a Hutu, and the Hutu still make up 85% of the population. The concern is that what happened in Burundi's elections, when voters cast ballots along ethnic lines, could happen here too. Kagame has put a number of safeguards in place to ensure it doesn't. Under campaign rules, for example, candidates are not allowed to be ethnically divisive, and the media has been very tightly controlled. The government has put limits on the amount of airtime any one candidate can have on television or radio. Joseph Bideri, head of the government's information ministry.
We've devised a formula whereby each candidate gets equal airtime on both radio and television. We make sure that every candidate has got 30 minutes every week on television.
In practice, however, Kagame's campaign leads every broadcast and is above every fold in nearly every newspaper. Journalists who have reported favorably about the other campaigns have been harassed or imprisoned, according to Human Rights Watch. Some voters also complain about harassment. One woman in Kigali said her mother had attended a Kagame rally and was reported to security when she failed to punch the air during the Kagame cheer. She was forced to explain that she wasn't subversive. She was just arthritic. Even that heavy-handedness hasn't marred Rwandans' excitement about the first election. Mayomram Dayiram is a farmer from Ruhango.
I would like to vote Kagame because he led us to peace and he is a good leader. We are here because the country is free and we all have the freedom to move and we are free to campaign for him. The biggest priority is freedom and peace in the country.
But the process of reconciliation continues. Some 120,000 Hutu accused of taking part in the genocide are still awaiting trial. And a war crimes tribunal based in neighboring Tanzania is still prosecuting those accused of being responsible for the massacres. For NPR News, I'm Dina Temple-Rostin.